Looking at the Future with business futurist Maurice Maslowski from businessfuturist.com. Today, taking a look at the future of tourism. Who's travelling and where and how? Maurice Maslowski, good morning.
Hello, David.
Maurice, first up, how might we be travelling in the future? Will it still be cars and trains and planes?
We still will have all of those things, but what they will be perhaps very different. When you think about it, cars and planes have been here for less than 100 years in total, and they've changed the way that we travel, the way that we see the world. Before them, most of us only travelled, the average was about 25 kilometres our entire life. It was wherever we could walk or have some sort of horse and drawn carriage.
New modes of travel?
Yeah, there's a fascinating one that we really don't know much about, but it's only come out in the last 2 weeks. Strange to talk about, but it's from a gentleman called Elon Musk, who has some interesting credentials. He was the gentleman that had devised PayPal and sold it off, and since then had put together SpaceX, which is a rocket ship organization, and also the Tesla car. He came out last week with a statement that he has invented a new form of transportation. Won't tell us what it is, and he's calling it for the moment Hyperloop. No, and it gets stranger. This is his description of it. He says it's a cross between a Concorde, a rail gun, and an air hockey table.
Okay.
Don't know what that is, but what's fascinating for me is he says that it's something that will never crash, is immune to weather, goes 3 or 4 times faster than a bullet train. It's, look, with this gentleman, you never know, is the answer. He says that in the next couple of months he's going to make an announcement, but has no firm date for it. So what he's claiming is that he's found a completely new mode of transportation, something none of us have ever thought of before. Now, we might wind him up as a bit of a crackpot, but PayPal had never existed before him either. And look where that went. SpaceX, private travel into space, was also not something that anyone apart from NASA and the government had, and he's doing relatively well out of that. And the Tesla electric car is up for debate. I mean, it's still around, still doing okay. So he's kind of pioneered 3 different industries in his lifetime.
So it's called the Hyperloop?
Is what it's called at the moment.
All right, make a note of that one.
So that's one of the things, but back to the realms of what is more likely, is that we are going to see planes. Our planes will get faster, we're told, over the next 20, 30, 40 years. They will become lighter and will travel far greater distances with a lot less petrol on board.
Because they haven't changed much, really, have they, since way back in, what, the 60s? I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, isn't it?
Even earlier, absolutely. And that's a lot to do with infrastructure. When we talk about changing planes, there's about a 20 to 30 year life cycle at the moment that needs to be in place before a plane can be changed. Not so much because of the plane itself, but because of all the infrastructure. So the airports need to change. For instance, we've just got the new double-decker, and only the airports that have upgraded their runways and their docking bays are able to accept those planes. So that's what takes more time. Also in Australia, we have not seen the fast train yet, which is now in Europe quite ordinary, and we're going to see, I think, 8 more tracks in Europe. In China, in the next 10 years, they're putting on 18,000 kilometres of fast train.
Wow.
And in Australia, we have zilch. I mean, that's one of my laments. We really do need the fast train to come into Australia. We need to take the eastern seaboard. It will happen one day. It'll be terribly expensive, but terribly worthwhile.
And will we become space tourists?
Yes, now space tourists, we're about to take off. With Galactic Space, of course, Richard Branson, within the next year, is going to take off. And we will see people being able to fly into orbit for $250,000. All they're going to do is literally just go up there, look into orbit, and come back down. It'll be an expensive trip, but for those that have the money, it might be a worthwhile activity. We also have a corporation called Mars One. This is another one of those what's going on things. But there are 78,000 people that have registered to colonize Mars when and if it ever becomes available.
Were you one of them, Maurice?
No, I can't say. There are many things I want to achieve in my life. I'm not sure that's high on the list.
Now, I'm a bit disappointed you haven't mentioned teleportation. Surely that must be on the menu.
Teleportation is something that will be, but in a very strange way. There's nothing that we can see on the horizon will actually move us physically from where we are to where we might want to be. But remember the old holodecks for those Star Treks, where you used to walk into a room and that room would change to represent whatever scenery and space you wanted it to be? Those holodecks are a reality. We can actually do those at the moment. And one of the things that I'm talking to my tourism providers about is within 5 to 10 years, that will be quite a commonplace in one of two ways. One is that you can pre-trial the vacation before you go. So if you want to head up to Paris and you want to take, you know, 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes walking around, seeing the hotel and where you might go, you'll be able to jump into one of these rooms and virtually take yourself over. And the other thing that we're talking about is people actually taking a virtual holiday and spending time in these holodecks. Now, I know these are all step too far, sounds strange, but kids are immersing themselves in these kinds of things all the time. They're playing their games. We're teaching pilots how to fly using these kinds of virtual spaces. Psychologists tell us that within 3 or 4 minutes of people going into these spaces, our brain tricks us into believing that they're real. Nobody for a moment is saying that they're going to do away with physical holidays. In fact, we're going to have more physical holidays than we ever had before. The stat moving forward is by 2020, the average Australian will take 10 vacations per annum. 10 vacations. Now, a vacation is not that 2-4 week period that we might have grown up with. It might be a weekend, or it might be an overnighter, it might be a couple of days off. But we will take 10 vacations rather than have that 4 week chunk that we used to have.
So sort of a virtual room where you can imagine you're in Paris.
Yes.
But you wouldn't want to be able to order a coffee though, would you, or something? It'll be a bit difficult at the cafe you are.
Well, look, there are always ways around that as well. So we could perhaps offer a physical one there. So, sounds strange, but again, what we're talking about really is getting away from what we currently do, our work and the mundaneness and the day-to-day, and moving into some other space. So, absolutely, physical is still going to be number one, but we're going to have a lot of these other possibilities arise as well.
There's also new travel categories that have up. Tell us a bit about those.
Yeah, so these travel categories really are a response to the way that we travel now. Traditionally, when we travelled overseas as Australians, we either went on a great gap year, or we went on a 2, 3, 4 week guided tour. And that nowadays doesn't satisfy as many people as it used to. Many people now want to do their own thing. In other words, they're interested in art, or they're interested in looking at particular scenery or having a particular experience. So what we're finding across the world is that people are now putting together their own experience type travel. One of them, of course, is around medical tourism. That's a huge growth area. People are going and not coming back quite the same way they left. A little bit more, a little bit less of something. And ancestry travel is another one. Now, especially for Australians, many of us are going back to find our roots, go back to the mother country, wherever that may be, and experience that kind of activity. There's a huge growth in people going back to their ancestry, to their homelands, and trying to discover their roots again. We have things like sustainable tourism, ecotourism, which people are going back into a natural environment, trying to live that lifestyle rather than the one they're coming from. We also have things like arts, where people are going on particular art tours, so they might travel around Europe and just go to see the art galleries that they're interested in. So we are putting together very specialised tourism packages, and often these are put together by the individual themselves. So we're not looking so much for the brochure anymore with where other people are telling us to go. It's more of our own experience of where we'd like to be.
Controlling our journey. Just finally, Maurice, of course, one of the problems with going overseas is the language problem. Are there any answers to that in the future?
Yeah, in fact, language I don't think will be much of a barrier at all. There are some really good apps and websites around now that take care of that almost immediately. A good old Google Translate, which is simple and free, will do that for you. So if you type something in, it will give you the translation to it in whatever language you choose. There's a great app I travel with called iTranslate, letter I is everything is nowadays Translate, which is free and there's an upgrade version of it. Again, it will allow you to type in the word, or you can actually take a picture of the sign or something else as well and it will translate it for you. So there are lots of those opportunities around. And we've also spoken about Google Glass in the past few weeks, that new thing from Google which you'll wear, the pair of spectacles, it'll be able to see the world in front of you. We're told that Google Glass will also automatically translate for you as you walk around. So literally the signage, everything else that you see, as soon as it recognises it's not in the language that you're familiar with, will change it over to be what you want it to be.
Still, that was all part of the fun, wasn't it? Fumbling with the phrase book and waving your arms around?
Yeah, I think so too. In many ways, we may over-sanitise. And again, this comes back to human control of what we want it to be. The vast majority of travel, I think, will still be the same way that we see. You know, people going over to have a particular experience, a gap year, or with friends, or whatever else. But there will be all these new elements around, and like always, we'll have to make best choices as they open up to us.
Most definitely. A fascinating glimpse of the future of travel with Maurice Maslowski. Maurice, remind us how we can keep up to date with what's happening in the future.
As always, it's businessfuturist.com.
Maurice Maslowski, till the next fortnight. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it.
Thanks now. Maurice Maslowski from Business Futurist. Thursday.